Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, praise the Lord. Good to see everybody here tonight. Good food, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. We're just going to give you a slight overview of the blood covenant, what it means to be in a blood covenant with anyone, whether it's a brother, whether it's a marriage covenant, whether it's a tribal covenant, whether it's the brotherhood and a covenant that we would make. I want to share my testimony a little bit to get you understanding how I just got interested in this. I went to Bible college and did a lot of different things, but the truth of it was, I didn't get it. Sometimes when you hear a message, you don't get it. We hear, but we don't get it. It doesn't get into our spirit, doesn't get into our heart. So I was over in Africa. This is quite a few years ago. We've been here 15 years now. Can you believe it? Wow. But it was quite a few years ago, and I was praying and having my devotions with the Lord. At the end of this little book, the daily devotion book, there was a scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so I made the confession and put it down, and the Lord spoke to me. It was almost audible. To me it was audible, but I don't know if it was really audible. And the Lord says, you know that scripture. And you preach that scripture. Yeah, right on. He said, but you don't believe it in your heart. Wow. That stunned me, because I thought, with all the miracles and all the provisions that God had done in my life and through my life, that surely I must have believed in the blood covenant. Well, I did believe in it, but with my heart, I didn't understand it. How many of you have all of a sudden realize that in your heart, your spirit, you didn't believe something that God had said in his word? There are many things in God's word that we know and we understand in part, but to grasp it with our heart and believe it with the whole of our being, it's a different story, which I had to learn the hard way. And then what happened was then after just about a minute or so, he said, the reason you don't believe this word of mine, it's because you don't understand in your heart. You don't know it in your heart. So I go, oh, wow. And then there was a curtain opened up, a spiritual curtain opened up. And he spoke some things to me. It opened up and it closed real quick. Now, I was in Africa. I didn't have anybody there. I had no pastor. I didn't have any friends. All I had was the Word of God and my sweetie. And It was really, really interesting, because he said to me, what he was saying to me in essence was, I've got your back. I'll always be there for you. No matter what you go through, I'm there with you. No matter who comes against you, I'm there with you. And then it closed, and we went through persecution. They were threatening us to kill us. That's fun, isn't it?
Fun for somebody else, not for me.
And so it was like 3 weeks. And then I finally came back. We were running to the capital. We were in a place called Nakuru. And we were running to Nairobi on a nice highway called Death Highway. And we would go up and down every day. And so finally, after about 2-3 weeks, we got it sort of straightened out. And I sat down in the chair. I fell back in my easy chair. I'm going, sigh. And I said, where was I? Now, where was I? And the Lord said, I had just given you a revelation from my word. And I was honest with him. And I said, I don't know. I don't know it. I can't grasp it. He said, I want you to open up my book, my word, from Genesis to Revelation. He said, I will teach you about covenant. For 2 years, we didn't have anything. We didn't have all we had was snail mail, We didn't have anything else. It was that far back. And so I started. And everything I read, it was covenant, covenant, covenant. And I saw that whether it was a tribal covenant or whether it was a marriage covenant or whether it was Jonathan and David or whether it was Abraham or Jacob or whether it was Moses, God made a covenant with him, powerful, life-changing. Every covenant that I saw and everything that God showed me was that when a person entered into a covenant relationship with someone else, listen to me, that life was forever changed. If it was a blood covenant, they never remained the same. Again, you folks that were married, can you remember what it was before you were married? Has your life not changed? Forever, forever, until death do us part. And so I began to study, and God began to show me some things. You know, we always think our life, because we became a new creation, we see that our life was changed, and we thank God for that every day. But did you know that the life of Jesus was changed? He still bears the nail scars and the prints in his side. He is forever tied together with humanity. That's the God that we serve. That's the God, that's the Lord and the mighty one of Israel who we are in covenant with. And sometimes we see all the promises. Sometimes you and I look at the Bible and we know the promises. We can tell them. Some of us have preached. Some of us sing it. But you know something? There's something deeper than that. There's something that we're going to have our backs against the wall. We're going through a sickness or we're going through a loss, a brokenness. We're going through some hard times. And we try to hold on to that scripture, that promise. And somehow it just doesn't seem like we can get a hold of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Understanding blood covenant is the answer. Understanding that not only Jesus died for you and gave his life for you and became a ransom for us, it's understanding what it means to enter a blood covenant. Most blood covenants are initiated to start out of love. They started out of love for that person because we're attracted to them, because we love them. We spent time with them. We loved being around them. But there's some other things we're going to look at tonight as we look at some of these scriptures. And Psalm 25:14, if you have it there. Psalm 25:14, I'm going to read out of my notes here. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. This word fear is a very, very interesting. It's an interesting word because if you look at fear, you think afraid. But that doesn't mean afraid. It means reverent. Actually, it goes deeper than that. It means awe. When we stand in awe of God, we honor him because of who he is, because he's mighty, because he's a sovereign God. He's the holy God. We know he's Lord of our life, but sometimes we don't really grasp all that is. I want to look at that. Hallelujah. That word fear means yar, Y-A-R-E, yar. It's a reverential, it's awe. And when we begin to understand that as we dwell and desire to dwell in his presence, knowing who he is, knowing that we are part of him, we are his sons. We are his daughters. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Knowing that, and knowing that he wants us to be walking with him in this presence that he has for us, this goodness and this mercy. Paul said it a different way. He said in Galatians 2:20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life that I live, now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." I believe he was talking about covenant. I believe he was talking about covenant because Paul was saying, I don't live for myself anymore. I live in the one who indwells in me, the Christ of God, by his Spirit. And so he made that declaration. I think that's the thing that we as a church, we've got to strive for. And let me say a couple of things, get way off before I get going. And God is not looking for perfect Christians or perfect covenant partners. He is looking for his sons and daughters to honor, to walk with him in that place. I love this song. Thank you for singing that song. Ooh, that was really good. I give you my heart. Don't you sometimes want to make some of these songs your prayers? I do. I think that was for me. Jesus said some things, and we're going to look at them very quickly. Jesus said some things in the Gospels that as a Western world, Western community, Western country, we don't understand. And the reason why we don't understand it is because Jesus wasn't Eastern. The whole Bible is Eastern. It's not Western. They've changed it for us and put it in our language, you know, but it's not. It's a totally Eastern book, and that's another reason why we haven't grasped it yet. We have not grasped what he is trying to say through the Gospels, through the New Testament. We see it, but we don't get it. Let me give you a couple. Matthew 10:37. He that honoreth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Wow. We go, I don't get that. That's because we don't truly, in our heart, understand covenant. We don't understand that he's the one who gave us life. Our parents gave us life, but our parents didn't give us life. There's a little bit different there. And God wants us to know that even ourselves, we must even deny ourselves. That's what a covenant is. A covenant, when you make a covenant with someone, you honor them by preferring them, giving them first place in your life. Is it tough? Oh, it's impossible. Yeah. Unless you let Jesus live in you and through you. That's the only way. And we're going to fall, and we're going to have all kinds of problems trying to manifest this perfectness, which he doesn't expect anyway. But he does desire honor. He desires honor above all things. Yes, he wants us to love him, but you know, in our culture, you fall in love, then you fall out of love, then you like him a little bit more some days and other days when they serve your burnt offerings. You guys don't get burnt offerings? Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you, Marla, for that. Appreciate that. But our feelings come and go. But honor doesn't have to come and go. Even if we fall on our spiritual face, we can still honor God. Yeah. We can still look to him, trust in him. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. But this is my Father glorified. We have to abide not only in the word. I love the word of God. The word of God has changed my life, and I believe it's changed your life too. But there's this abiding with our covenant partner, walking with him, supping with him, and allowing him to live and move and have his being in us. Yeah. That's a different story, but that's what we need to strive for. This word secret in Psalms 25:14, listen to this. It means the company of persons, the secret of Jehovah, the company of persons in close deliberation, having intimacy, consultation, a secret inward
counselor.
Wow. That's what secret means. It doesn't mean something hidden. That's not what it means. It means there's going to be an intimacy with the Lord. There needs to be a place where we have walked with him and we are hungry for his presence. Yeah. We are hungry for his word. We're hungry for the things of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, when you seek the kingdom, you also seek the king. When we seek the king first and put all these other things off the side, and like I said, I don't know, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but that needs to be our goal. Whether we're playing golf or kitchen or in the kitchen or talking to our neighbor, if we'll have in our heart, today I'm seeking the kingdom of God. Today I'm seeking you, Jesus. Today I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to show the world who you are through my life. That's why we have to abide in him and let his presence abide in us continually. Let me read a couple. So we said love was the first one. Honor is the second one. Love is found in John 3:16. We know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus so loved the world that he laid his life down. Amen. So out of the love covenant is born honor. Let me give you a couple. What time is it? Listen to this honor, just from man to man. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you," 1 Thessalonians 13, "and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." We're talking about honoring. We're talking about honoring someone in the body of Christ. If we honor someone, esteem them highly, how much more? How much more the one that we've entered into a blood covenant with, the one who gave his life for us? Amen?
Amen.
Psalms 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. And that word honor is different than most every place else. You'll find it in Revelation. You will talk about the cherubim and seraphim are worshiping God. That word honor goes along with glory, and it means heavy. Have you ever heard something and somebody says, "Oh, that's heavy," or "That's deep"? It's the same thing. It's a glory. It's a powerful honor. It is. It just means heavy, weighty. So John 5:23, "So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father." Wow. See, when we're honoring one, we're honoring the other one. Even though we don't see them, we know him. We believe in them. We desire their presence. Do we struggle? Absolutely. That's why we need him. That's why he reveals himself to us and all that he will do.
Yeah.
The promises. You could take one night and couldn't touch all the promises are in Christ Jesus. Well, I'll give you a hint. We can help you. If you really want to know, go to the Gospels and go to the letters that Paul and Peter and John wrote, and all the scriptures that have in him, in whom, by whom. If you look up all those scriptures and make, I added mine to one of my Bibles. I just put these things in there. I mean, there are tons of them, and they tell you what Christ has done for us, what we have in him. Some of the scriptures say, "In him we live and move and have our being." In him, we have been given righteousness in him, right standing with the Father. We've been given all these different things. But if we don't know them, if we haven't heard them, how can we believe?
Yeah.
We're not going to believe something we haven't heard and at least thought about it and studied on it. Okay. Let me just The third one is commitment. The third attribute that I believe we should seek for is commitment. Responsibility, obligation, duty, charge, commitment. Remember when Jesus went to the garden? Y'all remember that? And he sweat great drops of blood. I can't even imagine that. I can't. But it was true. But he didn't vary from the plan the Father had for him. He was committed to that plan. Even so, we should develop a spirit of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That is, these are attributes that are found in someone who wants to walk with the Lord more closely and to be that honorable, committed covenant partner. He desires that that's what we be with all of his heart. He knows we're up and down, we're in and out. He knows that we're on fire in 2 weeks, and then the third week we're have forgotten everything, have forgotten the sweet presence of the Lord, have forgotten the good and perfect gifts that the Father comes down from the Father. Submission is another quality. Submission is not a dirty word. Submission has been used and abused. It's not a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. It means to place yourself under the authority of another. People have used that to beat their wives up with verbally. Yeah. They really have. They just you know, well, you're supposed to submit. Well, it's true. They are supposed to submit, but we're all supposed to submit one to another. When you go into the kitchen, your wife is cooking. Who should you submit to? My other half. Why? Because she's an authority at that moment. She's there, and so the submission is actually placing yourself under the authority of another. No one can make someone do something without physically doing it, but God wants us to submit. Or be submissive to his word, to the Lord Jesus Christ, even to others within the church. And the last one is following the Lord fully. Following the Lord fully. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. I don't know if I have that one. Okay. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered. And his descendants shall take possession of it. Sometime later, Joshua 14:14, he got his inheritance. He stayed with it. He did exactly what God was called him to do. He led the people. After Moses passed away, he led the people into the promised land. He knew about the giants. He faced the giants. We're going to face giants. They may look like different things. We're going to face the giants. But listen, don't forget, he's got our back. Yeah. The enemy doesn't like that. But we are in covenant with the Son of the living God. He is our hope. He is everything we need. There was one lady. She was describing the Lord. And she says, he's the allness of the muchness of my faith. I like that. I adopt that one. I want you to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, if you would. We're going to look at Abraham covenant just real quick. In Genesis chapter 12, starting with verse 1, he gets a call from God. And the call is, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And then he promises, he gives these tremendous promises. Now, he's not in covenant with God yet. God has made the call like he has with our life. He spoke to us. We heard a word by the Spirit of the Lord. And he's called us. And then he wants us to step out and to follow and be obedient to that word. And so he said, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. And he says in verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, you shall, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so he's telling about these blessings and all the and it's very interesting because in ancient places and in ancient countries of the world, and Jews were one of them, there are people know what blood covenant is. They know because people, couples, men, tribes have joined themselves together in a covenant, and they cut covenant. They mingle the blood. We're not going to go into all the different ways, but there's handshake and there's different things, and they mingle the blood. And the two tribes that were there before now become one tribe. When you come against one of those tribes, you come against both of the tribes. And so they swear an allegiance to one another. They give a sacred oath. It's life-changing for the whole tribes. And the covenant heads who come together, they're the ones who cut covenant. But all these people, all the rest of the tribes and all the people that are there, they're witnessing. They see what's going on. And they are the witnesses that these two have become one tribe. Just like a marriage. Just exactly like a marriage. And so here we are. And you go back to, now you go over to chapter 15. And God says, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abraham talked to me, says, "What shall thou give me since I'm childless?" And Abraham, verse 3 said, "Since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is here, heir." So he talks to him about his heir. And then listen to this, verse 5. "And he took him outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' And he said, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6 says, "Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned to him as righteousness." And we see this in the New Covenant as well. And then he said, verse 7, he said, "I am the Lord," and he tells him this, "I'm the same one who was talking to you. I'm the same one who gave you blessings over here in chapter 12. I'm the same one who appeared to you." So now he didn't know God before that. He was a worshiper of moons and suns and different things like this, from what I'm understanding. So this God speaks to him and promises him fantastic things. And he says, "I am the Lord," verse 7, "who brought you out of Ur, of Chaldeas, to give you this land to possess it." Listen to the honesty. And he said, "Lord, oh Lord, how may I know that I possess it?" Isn't that just like some of us? How may I know this promise is for me? How do I really know? Listen to this. And he said, verse 9, "So he said to him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old male goat and 3-year-old ram and turtle dove and young pigeon.'" So he brings these sacrifices. You see, it's a blood covenant that he was invited to by God Almighty. He said, "You come." He said, these are the sacrifice I'm making with you. And you don't see Abram going, "What does that mean?" The reason he formally knew that what a blood covenant was. If you do some research, you'll see that before Abraham or Abram, before this confrontation, there were people on the earth were making blood covenants. I said, the blood covenant is the oldest covenant known to man. It goes back thousands and thousands of years. And so he makes his covenant. He makes his covenant with him. And he says, after he brings the sacrifices, and God makes him some more promises. And verse 17, "It came about when the sun set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between the pieces. On that day," verse 18, "the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the river of great Euphrates.'" And it goes on. You have to read the whole story, and you ought to read it. It's really, really good. Because he changed his name. He gave him some fantastic promises. There was a blood shed. There was a holy oath. When God could not swear by anyone greater, he swore by his own name. And that's why he's done for that. He swore on the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He swore on that and given a holy oath. He's not going to violate his oath. He's not going to violate his word. That's the assurance we have. That's the assurance we have. When your back is against the wall and things don't look good, you can call on your Heavenly Father, the one who gives good and perfect gifts that comes down from the Father. You can call on him and you can believe because you are in covenant with him through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to... Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is another covenant between two men. And how many of you know the story? This is a blood covenant. It doesn't go into the details, but it is the only covenant that David knew was a blood covenant. And so, to make a long story real short, after Saul wanted David to be his armor bearer, he comes and the soul of David was knit. Chapter 18, 1 Samuel. And it came about when he finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day, did not let him return to his house. Verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. This is one of the signs of a covenant, is the armor exchange, the clothing exchange, the name exchange sometimes. Look at this right here. Verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out and prospered everywhere he went. Jonathan honored David, and David honored Jonathan. It's interesting because when two people enter a covenant, they are the ones, and they come together like the marriage vows. Everyone makes their vows. This is what, and you make the vows, and you make them in front of public, in front of people, and you swear an oath before Mungu, before God. You swear an oath, and it's a holy oath. If you're a Christian, how many of you got married before you weren't Christians? Most of you are Christians. Hallelujah. We weren't. I had no idea. I was just doing because everybody else did the same thing. It didn't mean a thing to me. Not until later. God desires that every marriage covenant be birthed as him watching over the marriage. And so you had this union between David and Jonathan. It's a powerful. Through their life, things change. Jonathan has to push himself away from his father, who wants to kill Jonathan. Saul loved David. But after a while, he got jealous. He got very, very jealous and envious, and it broke it off. And then he started chasing. He tried to kill him two or three times with a spear. But Jonathan never left the covenant love that God had for him. That's what God wants for us. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for us. No matter what you go through. I see that hand. She's warning me. There are tremendous promises. But if we can only get closer by a deeper understanding of the covenant that we have. I told you it was going to be a flyover, but I wanted to say this to you, that if you will look, as I did, at the steps the name change, the blood sacrifice, the solemn oath. If you will look and see what God has offered us and why he offered them. Like I said before, two people can enter the covenant and they make the stipulations. Jonathan and David made the stipulations as they walked through their life together, as things really endangered their relationships, endangered their lives, as David was running for his life from Saul. But with God, and I'll close with this, with God, he makes the covenant. He makes the stipulations. He makes the promises. Either we say, yes, Lord, or we don't join the covenant. If we join the covenant, if we do become covenant, but we don't honor our covenant partner, then we're only going halfway. As Pastor comes, I just want you to, if you'd stay with me, if you will, or come to the altar. I really admonish us tonight to, if you need to, tell the Lord in your own words. I'm going to pray, but you tell the Lord in your own words, if you haven't already, and maybe you already have. Lord, I want to be your covenant partner. I'm already in the covenant, but I want to be honorable. I want to be honorable, Lord. I want you to use me for whatever way and however way you want to use me. If that's you tonight, find a place, if you would, just for a couple of minutes, and let's commit ourselves to the Lord afresh. Father, we come before your throne of grace, your throne of mercy. Lord, to thank you and praise you for tonight, Lord. I thank you, Father, for all that you are and all that you do and that you have given us your Son, the Christ of God, Yeshua of Israel. Lord, we desire you in our marriage, in our home. We desire to be honorable vessels, used whenever you want to use us, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you tonight. We commit our life to you tonight in a powerful way, Lord. They've heard your word, Lord. We have heard your word. It's not mine, it's yours. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us the heart. Create us, as David prayed, create us in a new heart, a right spirit, Lord, to worship you and praise you, to learn of you and to honor you, to be committed to you fully, looking to you and trusting in you. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy tonight. And we give you all the thanks and the praise in Jesus' precious and holy name.